Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone to Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. Again, here I'm in the studio with my co-host, Sister Vanessa, here in the studio, and we're back today to share a new topic. Again, we're basing our episode today on episode number 3 under the Seer and the Prophet series, and we're excited to be back here today. Hello, Sister. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I sure am, and I am grateful to be here with you as well and all of our listeners.
Praise God. Thank you, friends and listeners. Before we get started with the show, we need to remind you, our friends and listeners, if you'd like to chat with us while we're live on the air, please make sure that if you want to come up on the air and you want to talk to us live, we ask that you do mute your devices, other devices while on the air, as well as if you are not really comfortable with coming on the air and you'd like to chat with us, we are setting up the chat room right now so you can chat with us and ask us questions while we're live on the air. We want to thank you for those who are just tuning in, the new first-time listeners. We want you to feel free to leave a comment or message, even on our show page. Also, too, we are asking you, because we're moving this ministry onto other platforms, so we want you to stay connected with the Send Forth Your Word radio ministry. And we are wanting to ask that you, to be reminded on our show page, on Blog Talk, you can always join as a follower, because that helps us be able to locate you so we can send you reminders when we're moving different shows and videos to other platforms where you can have more access to the Send Forth Your Word radio ministry. Praise God. We also, too, have decided to offer spiritual coaching. And so what we're doing is, for those who need this type of help, or they need this type of counseling, we would like to offer you a right to go to our Send Forth email and send us a request to book one of the counseling sessions with either myself and Vanessa, or it would be both, okay? If you are here and you want to receive the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, we ask you, my friends, to also to wave yourself in your room and comment. We can see it on our panel. And so we will handle that towards the end of the show. If you'd like to just have prayer or you have a testimony that you want to share. And for those also, too, who would like to become a guest on Send Forth Your Word, we ask that you email us a guest request, okay? And we will talk to you about that then. So if nothing else, I want to read our disclaimer. The information you are hearing is based on our opinion. We always encourage you to seek Christ first before making rational decisions. If you let him, he will help you through it, my friend. Okay, sister, we're starting with episode 3, but before we go right in, my sis would like to pray.
Praises to the Creator. Thank you for that introduction. Precious, precious Father, we are so grateful that you have brought us here again today. You have carved this time out for us. I'm sure our listeners who are here today have been through something as well. And, you know, I used to hear in the church when I was growing up as a young girl, the sisters and the mothers in the church used to say, if you ain't being attacked, if you ain't going through something, then you don't belong to the Creator. So right now, don't feel bad. We just pray right now if anybody is feeling sick in their bodies or I just want to pray for you to be healed mentally, physically, and spiritually. That goes for me and my host here. And I ask you, Father, to remember us this week that's coming up. This is the first day of the week. We ask you, Father, to please carve out our destinations this week, Father. We ask you to keep us safe from any and all accident demons, rapes, molestations, kidnappings, no name, unassigned, any replacer spirits, any evil free-flowing spirits above us, around us, and below us on the earth realm. Spirits of witchcraft, black magic, white magic, forest magic, air magic, marine magic, magic spelled with a K, color magic, human and animal sacrifice. Father, we need your protection. You said in the end times that this would be the worst of all histories that would happen. Mm-hmm. And it is happening. It's happening. And so we just ask you, Father, to give us the strength, even though in Psalms 3, I think King David said, even though tens of thousands have set themselves against us, we will not be afraid of what they can do to us. But we're only afraid of what you can do to us. So we thank you, Father. Continue to give us the boldness, continue to give us the stamina in our body. Father, bless our food and our any of us have to take medications, anybody's taking herbs or anything. Me and my husband take those things too. And we just ask you, Father, we take it with you. We don't just take them, but we take it with you. And I ask you to protect every person's life, their finances, all of their livelihood, their jobs, and their houses, Father, all that they have. We ask for a special blessing. And I also encourage all of my brothers and sisters out there this day that this is a clarion call. This is the last call all over the earth realms. There is a release in the spirit realm. The Most High is about to release his, what do they call it, last and final call, okay? So we all need to get it together, even me and my sister. We trying to stay straight, too. We ain't trying to say we more perfect than anybody else. But get on board. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Your love endures forever.
Yes, praise God. I thank you, sister, for that prayer. And you're right. We are all a part of the body of Christ. None is over or above the other, and we don't even acknowledge or look at it that way because we know that we are going through our daily issues of life, okay? Like you said, you know, there's always an attack or something going on, and really if you're trying to pull the things together for the Most High, if you're trying to do the work, see, some people are in the body of Christ, praise God, but I don't know if I would say they're actually doing the work. Okay, now it's up to the Creator, like my sister said, if they are. And if they are, God will reward them for what they've done. It is not our position, praise God, to judge others, okay? Our attention should be on the work that God has put for us, have laid out for us. And so that's why we're here today, stand forth, is to share the goodness of Yah and the Christ, our Lord, that we do save, and I mean, we do serve, and we actually want our friends and listeners to be encouraged with these messages. Because one of the things that you don't see behind the scenes is the enemy sometimes will come at people of Yah who are bringing these kinds of messages to this end time, and it can be very tough for us. So as we move forward, let's get into episode 3. And I want to say this has been a very interesting journey, sis. How do you feel about that in regards to learning about the seers and the prophets?
I have truly been blessed by this lesson that you have given as well as me, the Holy Spirit speaking to us and others out there. It's just a blessing to hear that we're not alone. And it's a blessing to know that our forefathers and mothers who were seers and who were prophets at the time, they kind of already left us something to chew upon, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that we would not know what was going on, you know what I'm saying? So I just thank and praise him for that. And I even was once again looking at Amos 3:7 last night where it says, surely the sovereign Yah does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. And you just want to put it simply, it says, a prophet is someone chosen by Yah to speak for Yahweh. Our job is to accurately impart his message. What all prophets have in common is we have a heart for Yah, an anointing to hear from him, and the faithfulness to impart his message. While most people are having fun, we're not, okay? We're studying, praying, you know, and doing this. And don't get me wrong. I mean, Dad blesses us. He does.
Mm-hmm.
But while everybody else is doing stuff, we're like, oh, man, I can't do that. Because last night I was like, man, I got to get in here and I got to do my studying, you know. So,
that's
you do have to have a heart for Yah, or he will not, he can't use it, you know. You have to really, truly love him.
Yeah.
And love people. And love people.
And I don't want to cut you off. Were you done?
Oh, yeah, that was just kind of, I just kind of opened
for
with that
part,
one right there. That wasn't a benefit, but just to say, you know, what I just said, you know.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to just start a little bit more and dig in, and we're going to come back and forth and speak. Yes, you know, I want us to be aware that, you know, like my sister has said, you know, our lives are very different, okay? We as prophets, seer prophets, our lives are very committed and consecrated unto the Lord. And if you are a true prophet or a seer, I'm sorry to tell you, your life is really based around prayer and intercession. And I know, too, that in studying the Word of God, thank you, Holy Spirit, in studying the Word of God, because it is very important for a believer to know God's Word for themselves, okay? And one of the benefits of the prophets, you know, they are people who also are led to give God's people instructions. You know, a lot of times we don't always get to know what the prophet's position is in the early churches because, well, I would say in our modern churches, I mean, we're not so long ago, but in the early church that we belong to, we would see certain areas of the prophet every now and then, but they were not always recognized in the church as much. You know, I apologize if that's not our listeners and friends, what you've seen, but I'm only speaking from what my opinion has been. I have witnessed prophets who come to churches periodically through service and prophesy over people, but we really never seen where the relationship of was really fully developed among the congregants, you know. So is that something you've seen, sis, in your time and movement in the church? Have you gotten to know more prophets on a personal level, or were they just hit in between, you know, hidden in the surface?
Yes, we did have a visitation. Our pastor at the time did allow others to come through there and speak. But basically, my training, like I say,
the Most High, he would just bring people, like he would bring people to the church. Like I did meet some of these people in the church. But mm-hmm. it's the most part that I was able to learn about prophets were the people that I was, they weren't really, like you said, recognized. They didn't really go into depth. Like we went to a lot of seminars and different things mm-hmm. like that on a lot of other things, healing, deliverance and stuff like that, but never really digging into the prophets and the seers. No, we just, I learned mm-hmm. that just because most I sent people to me. And I learned a little training from them that I had gotten from them because sometimes they were just passing through town and, you know, mm-hmm. they were leaving or, you know, they were at another church, but they were invited to speak or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I remember, too, you know, because I met some mm-hmm. people who I really felt had that prophetic call in their life because they could really prophesy to people. And at times, you know, I would be really intrigued by it, you know. Because, I mean, at that time when you're in, like, I don't know, a good setting, everyone's in. Some people are under the Baptist, you know, and then some people were brought up in other different, you know, dominions of the church are. And so some people went over to the non-denominational churches, the, you know, Methodist churches, all the different, these different types of areas. You know, in church, you know, they had different criteria and who they would, I believe, would let come into the church and speak too, you know. So because we were raised up in the Baptist part of it, I didn't see a lot of that until mainly, you know, it became more, I started moving to non-denominational churches. And when I did see that a prophet came into the Baptist church, I was one of the ones they actually prophesied to before the church, which was really, it was strange, but it was also a good thing because it caused my leader to recognize that what I had told him personally that the Lord had spoke to me about, the prophet came in and identified, and see, that's why I want you to see this. He confirmed God's word for what I had said. And so I'll go back a little bit briefly over that. I remember when the Lord had spoke to me about where I could move to. And I was living in the city more so. And the Lord was talking to me to move towards the suburb, okay? And it was not the usual to see a person at my age in that time who was being called out of the city that they had grown up in all their life for the most part. Just move out to the suburbs where there were a lot of different races and other nationalities that would be there and who would I probably be able to identify with, you know? And that was one of the most prophetic movements that I've seen. It's just one of them because there's many. And I can say that the Lord started off with the dream. And so me and my sister have spoken about how God, you know, in our seers episode, you know, talks to his prophets, but he usually does start it with a dream or a vision, you know? And I can recall
That's right.
that the Lord had spoke to my spirit and began to, you know, encourage my spirit, you know, that I would move, you know? And so I was just more concerned about where that would be, you know? And so at the time, I had a friend in college. He and I were good friends, and we decided, you know, to take a drive out towards the suburb one day. And I went out there, and I really fell in love with the quiet and the peaceness that was there. And I believe that one of the things that the Most High does to the prophet, he has to bring them out to a place where there is peace. You know, I'm not saying that every prophet is going to live in the suburb, but there has to be a sense of peace and serenity for that prophet so they can be able to think and pray and do the things that God wants them to do. And so sometimes we have to just pay attention to that God will use those little things, my friends, to show us the way and how he is trying to use us. So, again, going back to my story, I began to realize after that chance to drive into the suburbs, we had grabbed a bite to eat, and everything looked good, you know. It looked normal, because when you're in the city and you only know one surrounding, you are very close-minded, you know? And so I literally have said to myself, well, yeah, that would be the place, but I don't know where, because one thing I didn't know is direction, you know, and all of that. So as time prevailed, I decided, you know, it was getting closer and closer by the leading of the Holy Spirit that I was supposed to move, okay? And so the next occurrence was I had a dream, and it was like I was in a helicopter, and all I could see is looking down at all of these little houses. You know how when you're in the high plane, you can just see it all looks so much like very small. And that's all he let me see. And so that was the next sign, you know, is that, you know, it's time for you to move. And so I had to, you know, dig deep within myself, because where I was at, that was where all of my family members were at, you know, and people I knew. And the churches that I belonged to, I began to really kind of get concerned about it. So I went to my pastor and said, you know, Pastor, I'm going to need you to pray for me. And he said, what's going on? I said, the Most High has showed me I'm supposed to move. And so I want to know if you can pray for me, because I don't want to make a bad decision, but I'm confident that I need to leave. He said, where are you going? I said, well, he's throwing me towards the suburbs. And so he said, oh, okay. He said, you sure you want to go out there with all those people? And here it goes. He just right away. I said, well, you know, I don't know if it's that it's me so much. It's more like it's God. And so he said, I understand, sister. And so he said, well, I'll pray and I'll let you know what God tells me. This story is very important to hear. And so by the time I got the final portion, that's the final portion of I needed to move, I decided to go that way. And I drove and drove and drove. Finally, I found a place to rest. And I didn't have, unfortunately, I didn't have a plan like most people. I just knew I was supposed to move out that way. And so I landed at a hotel, and I had my children with me, and we stayed there, and I prayed. And I just prayed and said, God, what is the direction? Where do you want me to go? I don't have a plan, you know, but the Most High kept me with comfort with that process. And so I remember about the third day of being in that hotel, I was kind of to the point like, God, you know, I see a hill, and I don't know how to get up that hill, you know. And I said, you know, I just feel like that's where it's at. Wherever I'm supposed to be, it's over that space. And so all of a sudden, the friend that I spoke of earlier had out of nowhere called me and said, hey, how are you doing? And I said, I'm good. And they said, well, you know, when I dropped by your place and I didn't see you, what happened? And I said, because I moved. And they said, oh, wow, where did you go? I said, I am in a hotel right now. And he said, well, you know, I can come there. I said, I'm a little afraid to go up this hill because I keep feeling like it behind this hill is where I'm supposed to be at. And so he and I met up, and he drove me up the hill, and lo and behold, that was where my apartment was at. And when I walked into a place and I filled out my application and I met up with a Hebrew sister, okay, and she was actually the only one in the office, and so she did all the credit checks. She approved my application, and it took less than a day. She got everything done for me. And when I moved in, the day I went in to get my keys, this woman sung to me. She sung to me, you finally made it. You know, it was such a beautiful thing. I'd never seen anyone just open up, and she could sing. Wow. And she told me that was really her gift. But she said, God put it on my heart because you, my friend, was really, really trying to do what God had told you to do. And that's why I want to encourage you. When you try to really walk in the propheticness of God, you're not always going to know what you're doing, okay? My sister will tell you this, okay? She has many of stories as well. You know, we don't always choose the task, or most of the time we don't choose the task.
No,
but we don't always understand how the move of God is so prophetic and how it's so necessary in order for it to affect others' lives as well as ours. And so had I just given up, I don't know if that sister would have had a chance to really minister and have me as her testimony, because not only will I remember that moment, but she will too. Praise God. Is there anything you wanted to get in there, sis, and talk about before we jump into the series about the prophetic move of God in your life?
Well, I can say that, well, just like, you know, we are learning that, you know, the first thing mostly is like you will be met with dreams and visions, which I've always had, like, since a young child, you know. And the other thing, when you're a prophet, you can have trances. Now, I've had one in my life, and I don't really like those. I did have one. But the visions part, the dreams, to me, my dreams are like, they're dreams, but they're like visions, too. They're so clear. It's just like I'm really there, you know. But I did have this one dream many years ago. I was about 19 years old. I was in the Job Corps. And that's when I was living in another state at the time. And I was downtown, and I was very upset because I was, you know, talking to a father. I was like, you know, why are you allowing this to happen to me? And I'm doing what's right and blah, blah, blah. So I was having all these, you know, and I was very, very upset, okay? And so I crossed the street, and so the bus was coming. So I walked up to the bus, and all of a sudden, when I was walking on the bus, I seen the driver. He turned, his face turned to a skeleton. It was a skeleton. But it was like in the movies, kind of like, too, you know. But he had his uniform on and everything. And I'm looking at, and he kept saying, are you going to get on? Are you going to get on? You going to take this ride with me? And I couldn't say anything. I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on here? And so I walked off the bus. I walked backwards. Amazingly, I didn't fall and trip and hurt myself. And so as soon as the door, I said, no, I'm not getting on this bus with you. And as soon as the door clanged, boom, I came off the trance. And I didn't know if that's what that was. Nobody never told me about a trance or anything. But when I did get on the bus, though, I heard and I saw all these people screaming. I mean, they were screaming at the top of their lungs. I can still see it now. I can still hear it now in my mind, you know. And I didn't know what it was that they were running and screaming from. So anyways, when the bus doors closed, I came out the trance, and the bus was driving off, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, what was that? You know, what was that, you know? And I went back, and I stood against the wall. It was a bank there at the time, and I stood there, and I waited for the next bus. Wait just a moment. I don't know. Somebody's standing here. I just have to close my windows. Just one moment. Because I don't, you know, strange things go on now, brothers and sisters. But anyways, I stood there and I waited till the next bus came. And so for a long time, I mean years, I did not share that with anybody because I thought people were going to think that I was crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I had a neighbor. I had gotten married then, and me and her became very close. She was a child of Yah. Her name was Freddie. And I don't think she's here anymore. She's gone on to be with the Lord, you know, Adonai. But anyways, I told her what happened, and she says, oh, that was you were in a trance. And I was like, what? And she was like, wow. Yeah. She said, you know, I've had those before too. And I said, well, what does that mean? She was like, well, that you saw something in the future, something that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I had perceived it as an earthquake, you know. It just seemed like they were running, the buildings were falling. And so then before I left that state that I was living in, I'm in another state now, I remember they made a movie in Hollywood. They had a movie with Dwayne Johnson, and I'm sure some of you have seen it. It's called Earthquake or something. I can't remember the exact title, but it was like a depiction of this really terrible earthquake that is going to happen in that state. Now, they have said it's not if anymore, it's just when, you know. And so the Most High showed me that event all those years ago. So even when it says here, when you go back to Amos 3 and 7, I just want to repeat that to you. I want to explain something to you right here right quick, is that when it says, surely the sovereign Adonai does not do nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets, first. Now, sometimes that can mean in prayer he can reveal things to us. That, you know, he can reveal it to us while we're studying, you know, or when we're just talking, me and my sister. I love talking to her, you know, because I get off the phone with her and I just get so much revelation. She says such an anointing on her life of healing. She's truly, truly anointed. I'm just so grateful that the Most High gave me my baby sister to me. But anyways, he can show you in a dream, in the future. You know, he mm-hmm. revealed it to me. But I didn't even know I was a prophet. I didn't know I was a seer at the time. So that mm-hmm. means it's going to happen. You see, mm-hmm. once he revealed right. it to the prophets, brothers and sisters, it's going to happen. And that's it's just one of the things. Major, that's a major thing right there.
That's a major benefit. And I like that you brought that out, sis. And I thank you, too, for being my older sister because it's helped me and groomed me. And I was able to watch things about my older siblings to kind of determine as the one of the younger siblings, you know, in the way I should go. That's kind of how the family is structured, you know. But it isn't that right. way as much anymore. It shouldn't go that way. But going back to her point was one of the things, the benefits of a prophet is someone, a prophet is a person who they help other believers, right? And they don't choose to abandon them, you know? And going back to my story, and I think you probably remember me saying, I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I need help with this. Well, I'm going to tell you, my pastor never came back and said, hey, God spoke to me. And, you know, that was mm-hmm. when God began to open my eyes because I would be living in the suburbs, but I would drive back to the city, okay, for Sunday services. And so one day the Most High spoke to me. And he said, you know what, you can no longer do this. Everything that I have for you is here. You need to start mm-hmm. living here. And so that really wow. helped me see that the Most High was already, he had ordered my footsteps. He had already had ordered my life to be somewhere else. And a lot of times people get stagnant or they get distracted and they stay in places where God has already freed them from. Another one of the things that was my tell sign when I was ready to go, because I had belonged to that same church, there was another minister guy that I used to talk to all the time. And I don't want to drop names, but he was a super nice guy. But people always thought he was crazy for some reason, you know. But he was very super nice because he knew the word. And a lot of people in the church, if they don't know the word, they try to identify you as something you're not, you know. And so right. he and I developed mm-hmm. such a good conversation in the Lord. And you know, I considered him as a brother in Christ, you know. And so one of the things when I was getting ready to leave, because that was one of his biggest things, he didn't really believe in the speaking of tongues, okay? And so one day, he and I were speaking on the side of the church before going in. And so we praised God, and I started speaking in tongues, and he was like, wow, I felt the Spirit of God in you. He said, you know, we're Baptists. We don't see that a lot. And it was such a great feeling that his spirit was lifted. You know what I'm saying? By him seeing yeah. the profaneness of my gift in me, you know, just like when my sister, she's ministering to some people, and she starts getting the gift, the anointing start coming on her and that power, and it really does break yokes, you know what I'm saying? It really does bring down the strongholds in people. So what I was saying earlier, that the benefit of a prophet, they really do help other believers, okay? They do right. help them, and they do not abandon them, you know?
Right,
and so
exactly.
in the church, mm-hmm. we've seen so many times, and I'm not saying everybody is a part of this, but there's a lot of false prophets that do not know how to guide God's people correctly, you know? They don't even know how to guide God's people. But that is really how you will be able to see the movement of God in your leaders. If they are not committed to this, helping and changing things or trying to get better resources for people in the church, then there's something wrong with that movement there, because God's prophets are always based around trying to love people because their love, their first love is Christ, okay? So you can't, you know, say you love God and you don't even love the people, you know? Mm-hmm. Also, too, another thing that the Most High was sharing with me in this teaching is that the leadership in the church is really handpicked by the faux leaders in some of apostolic parts of the ministry. However, some of the leaders in this day and time are not so personal with their people, their congregants, because they have appointed other leaders to be there and to speak for them. One of the things about a prophet, nobody is appointed to speak for you what God has told you, okay? So that is important to understand, too. It may not always come across as it's out of the order of God, but if somebody is standing in a prophetic appointed calling, they're not supposed to have others speak to a person on their behalf from God to you. It's supposed to be them speaking into your life, you know? And so they are held accountable when it's done in the correct order. And so God has begun to show me that a lot of people in this day and time, and, you know, over the years, we've learned a lot about many leaders in the church. And I do believe that many leaders tend to try and abuse God's prophets because they know that the prophet is the mouthpiece of God. And when we go back to the story of King Ahaz, he could not stand the prophet Micaiah because he said, this is what he said, Ahaz said, because he never had anything good to say about me, okay? See, and then, you know, that's pretty ridiculous because, you know, a prophet is not there to just speak good about you. The prophet is there to bring warnings and corrections and to see the move of God. They're there to see the heart of God. I mean, they are given the ability to see the heart of God for his people. They're not there to make people feel good about themselves and to amen everything they say. And see, in the modern day churches, we are still seeing the movement of Ahab in the church, you know? Mm-hmm. If you believe that the church has grown cold, you know, and I want to know this, you know, to the prophets, any of you who are here today, if you want to speak on that or if you feel like you want to wave your hand or you feel like you have seen that many of these leaders in this day and time and even in the past have grown really cold to the children of the Most High in the church because they're so busy making their other leaders take their place in a position that was not meant for their other leaders. And that tends to cause the order of God not to flow carefully. And what a prophet does, they're literally assigned so they can watch the flow of the church. The leaders, they are there to speak correction, to speak on wrongdoings, and not only speak, but to pray when wrong things are happening within the church. Sister Vanessa, I want to let you just start discussing a little bit more on, you know, the pastors and teachers and prophets. And I want to know, you know, sis, what do you think that many leaders, why many leaders despise God's anointed prophets in the church?
Well, first of all, some of them, in my opinion, are in the church because of tradition. Their fathers or grandfathers mm-hmm. chose them to be a pastor or something like that.
That's
I've
right.
had people tell me that. And the Creator never called them. Yahweh never called them.
Thank
he never
you.
Told them. I remember mm-hmm. even one time I was seeing this specialist, this doctor. It was kind of funny, but it must have been true. But he said that mm-hmm. in his family, he actually said he wanted to be a rapper. And he was a doctor, you know, and he had actually said that, you know, he wanted to be a rapper, but his family, you know, doctors ran in his family bloodline. So basically, mm-hmm. he was doing something that he really didn't love doing. You know, he was getting the benefits and wealth and everything and, you know, prestige mm-hmm. or whatever. But in his heart, he wanted to sing or rap or whatever, you know. And so I believe that's the same thing. These people, the Creator never called them. He's going to say mm-hmm. unto them one day, depart from you who worked iniquity. I never knew you. And so mm-hmm. the children get caught up in it, you know, because they're mm-hmm. forced to get it.
involved in it, you know. And that's why they can't help us. I'm not saying every pastor, but most of them, it was just a job. It was a scheme, you know. They just was able to, it's called charismatic witchcraft, and they was just able to talk, because some people do have the gift of speaking, but they were never supposed to use it to hoodwink or bamboozle precious souls of the Creator, you know. And to be honest with you, in my walk, there has been very few men that I believe they were children of Yah. Like, I remember I used to listen to Pastor Stanley on In Touch Ministries. And even when I did the geometry on him, he was saved, you know. It came out to 20, which means redemption. So, you know, he was dedicated to seeing people set free, and he preached the word, you know. So many pastors, you know, they don't care about your soul. It even says that they're supposed to be watching over our souls, praying for us, for our safety, for our well-being and everything. And I'm going to tell you, one time that's when I started noticing. I was like, no, my pastor's not watching over me, because all this stuff is happening to me. So I realized he wasn't praying. All he cared about was the tithes and the offering. And even, and this doesn't mean to make no offense to anybody, because you may have a relative as a pastor or a doctor or a lawyer or a police official, but it says that more of their skulls are going to be in hell than anybody else's. Why? Because they violated the trust of precious souls. Some people are dead now early. Why? Because they trusted their pastor to do the right thing. I remember my husband was on strike one time, and he worked for a conglomerate company, which some of you have heard is MTA. And he was on strike. And so we went to the church. They didn't offer us no money to help us, you know, because the union was giving us this little check or whatever. But they never said, oh, you know, Sister Vanessa, brother such and such, you know, oh, we're going to give this to you. But we have been faithfully supporting that church. They didn't say we're going to get you groceries or nothing. No, this has been they have taken what, just like Yeshua did. He saw that they was taking advantage of people in the temple. And then he ran them out of there. And it's the same thing going on. They didn't learn nothing then. They was doing it then, and they're doing it now. And it's up to the believers to wake up and get to step in. If you are a seer or a prophet and you're not recognized and your pastor is taking what you say, my pastor even would take stuff I said and use it. He never said, oh, Sister Vanessa told me this or that. No, he took it like he said it. Like he got it from the Creator. But he didn't. He got it from me. And he stole what the Creator gave me, and he took it as his own.
Praise God. You know, that is so true. You know, we have to be careful who we share our information with. And, you know, as we continued our journey, and that's been continuing thus far, you know, in the Lord, he's always going to show us who is for us and who is against us, you know. And if you're just tuning in to Send Forth Your Word today, we are talking on the topic of the prophet, the benefits of the prophet today, and we just want to thank you for coming out. But again, you know, we really do have to pay attention to the movement that's been going on in the church and in our surroundings and our communities, because prophets are there and set there in a position for a reason. You know, earlier we spoke about movement and we're in territories, and this may just be off the scope of what we're talking about, but you know, the Most High does place us sometimes to live in certain areas because we are called there to bring order, to stop evil doing in that area. And it may not really be very clear in the beginning, but you can start to see, and I know my sister and I have spoke about this before, like once God calls you out of a certain area where you live, or maybe even your job or something like that, you know, everything starts getting really old and, you know, just it starts looking really bad and shabby, you know. So God keeps that light there for the prophet, you know, so the prophet can be able to be taken care of, you know, And prophets are not, you know, really highly liked people, you know, all the time, because it depends on how they are developed or how they're introduced into certain circumstances or certain organizations. You know, some people will gather and flock to a false prophet faster than they will to a godly prophet, because one of the things the Most High was showing me about in the life of a prophet, a person has to be able to really discern when they're getting a word from a person who's saying they're a prophet, if that person really have a connection with God, you know. And the only way you can understand that is you need to know what a real prophet is, their position, you know. And so one of the things God began to show me is that the reason why I believe that, earlier I asked, you know, why do we, you know, my sister or you or anyone here believe that prophets are really despised, really God-anointed prophets are kind of like despised in the church. And one of the things that I noticed is that the leaders understand where the actual prophet ranks in the order system of God. And so sometimes what they'll do, they'll try to kind of like deflate or silence the prophets or make them where they're more hidden so people won't come to them for knowledge and information. Because we know this as being in the church or have been in the church. You know, people go to churches for various reasons. It's not always because they just know God and just love God. Some people are going because they need to hear what's going on or why their life is a certain way. They want to hear a word from God, right? And so when they go to the church, if the prophet is standing there, the attention will not be focused on the leaders. It will be focused towards the prophet. And what we start seeing earlier, that why I believe that the church, not all church leaders, because I want to be clear, but why the church in the way it's developed in this day and time, it really has been, it's very extinct. The prophet is very extinct in the church. Really a God field, the prophet, okay? A prophetic prophet. Because prophets draw a lot of attention, you know? And I know for me, like we talked about in the Seers, you know, episode, you know, we could go places and really not mean to be the one, you know, everybody's looking at. But God, that spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, it just draws men into us, you know. And I think that that always tends to have a to be a problem in the church, because the church does not understand the order that God places a prophet in. And so what we're going to do, we're going to move over to that, okay? Because God told me to say this, you know, prophets are very sweet people. For the most part, when I ran across a prophet, and they really had the real true intentions of Christ, they was just not willing to do anything wrong, okay? I would say that I may didn't have enough of time to develop a relationship with them to a full course relationship, but I would say the bits and pieces that I received from being around them, I could see the sincerity, okay? And that, you know, they were always concerned about, like my sister said, about our calling, our spirit, our life as the children of God. They're the overseers. And a lot of people don't understand that the prophet is really an overseer in the church, okay? Because they can pick up things from God who is not being addressed and what needs are being missed, you know? And so their job is to really call that out to the leaders, you know? If they see that they're being prejudiced towards one area, a category of people, because they want to what? They want to profit off of them. They're not supposed to forget the sick and the needy and just put everything based on, you know, money and monetary type of things. So prophets are always going to be able to see what's in the heart of God for his people. They're not there really to just, amen, the church, everything the pastor or the teacher is saying. Sometimes they are going to bring correction to them, whether it's publicly or, you know, in a personal place. You know, they can really come to them and say, hey, you know what? You've missed it here, because the church has missed it. no matter where we're at in this process of the end times and the propheticness of Christ, what God is showing us throughout the earth, he is bringing judgment to every place upon the earth. And the church is in error.
Sure is.
The church is in error, my friend. You know, we're not here to condemn, but we have to speak the truth, okay? And what God has showed us is that a lot of God's prophets were silenced in the church, you know, and they have been for many years. So that's why you don't see the prophetic movement of the body of Christ as much. You see it all centered around man more than God, you know, because in order for God to get the glory, he has to, like my sister said in Amos, he has to speak to whom? His prophets, who are the servants, okay? A lot of people misinterpret, and we talked about that, because I know that me and her, we say, you know, the prophet said, no, the prophet is God's servant, people, you know? It is his servant, okay? And so we're going to move right over, and if you have your Bibles real quickly, I want to take you into, let's look at the way the ordership works. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, if you have your Bibles, my friends, I really want you to see this process because we need to see what the movement and how it works, okay? And so right here, you know, we're looking more so in the order, how God has, you know, sectioned the church, you know. And so if you have your Bible, do you have that, sis? Did you get that one, Ephesians?
No, I was rushing out today. I forgot my Bible, honey.
Okay.
I usually always have to, but you can go ahead, I'm reading that scripture, but I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So good. So we're going to look at how God ranks the leaders. You can see how many churches are guilty of not honoring God's prophets, and some of you will see they never even acknowledge any of the prophets in the church. So the prophets, again, like I said, are very extinct in time and has been in the past. However, we read in Ephesians 4 and 11, and it says this, it was he, and I'm parenthesizing Elohim, who gave gifts to people. He anointed some to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, others to be pastors and teachers. For perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here in Ephesians 4 and 11, God specifically shows the order in which the gift carries its authority in the kingdom of God. First, God recognizes who? The apostles, which are in order to hold a position of apostleship. They must meet certain criteria, okay? And so we're going to talk about that a little there, okay? The first criteria is this. A disciple, they must be considered, and we're talking about apostles right now, they must be a disciple of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, doing his earthly ministry, okay? Number two, an eyewitness of the resurrection. So they must have been able to be here to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ. And then the third one is number three, they're called and commissioned directly by Christ, okay? So now let's discuss this, because many people in the modern day temple is appointing men and women as apostles, and we, the seers and prophets, are not able to correct the leaders because God's prophets are, like I said, very rare in this day. But when I read, Paul was not, and he was considered an apostle, he was not an eyewitness of the resurrection in the same way as the other apostles were. Nevertheless, Paul was directly called to the office of Christ. Nevertheless, Paul was directly called to the office of Christ. His call was confirmed by other apostles, who apostleship was not in doubt, was his identification by the miracles God performed through him, attesting his authority as an apostolic agent of revelation. I'm sorry, you guys, I'm tight-tongued today. Okay, and then it says, see, friends, we have to know what we're dealing with. My question for the audience, if you want to answer, raise your hand. We'll bring you on the air. Do you think there are really true apostles in this day and time to be in authority as an apostolic agent of revelation? Sis, what do you think? Do you feel like we have been seeing a lot of apostolic agents of revelations in this time?
No, not really. They, you know, I would like you already said it, like, you know, in the earlier years and when we was coming up, there was a move. A lot of people were getting saved. A lot of people were getting set free. Mm-hmm. And but the kingdom of darkness, he came along and he shut that down. And so how he did it was he turned the leadership against the true prophets. That's how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, people that you've been with for years, you think they loved you or whatever, now they're not talking to you no more. They rolling their eyes at you. You know, I've even went to some people and asked them, you know, did I do anything? You know, they said, no, you haven't done anything. But yet still, they were still, you know, snubbing me and stuff. And, you know, they were giving all these gifts out to the church. And I remember, first of all, we want to say it's supposed to be called a temple. In the Old Testament, mm-hmm. never say nothing about no church. It's a temple,
church.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyways, I remember, you know, telling my sister this before, but just basically I remember I went to this new church. They was like just starting out like babes, you know. And so the Most High told me, he said, I want you to start, because they didn't have no Sunday school ministry. But look, the Father had prepared me for this years ago when I was a teenager. I had, remember that church across the street when we lived on 104th Street?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so the lady over there asked me when I teach Sunday school, so that's how I learned how to do it. But I didn't even know that the Most High was preparing me for that day to, you know, the future, right? I just did it. And so, those little children got on my nerves, but but I learned. And so what happened was I went to the pastor and I said, you don't have a children's ministry. Do you mind if I teach the children? He was like, oh, no. So we had ended up moving to another building, and I started the children's ministry. But the miraculous thing about all of that was, even though I was teaching them, I was learning to get to know myself. You see,
that's good.
I was learning more how to get to know the Father, hearing from him. And everything, and everything I needed for that ministry, he provided. Like, I wanted some desks for the children. Some kind of way, the pastor, he comes to church next Sunday, he goes, Vanessa, I found these desks for you. I mean, it was just amazing. Everything you need will be there for you when you are truly, truly serving the Creator. But now people are lovers, 2 Timothy 3:15, I think that's where we're at. People are lovers of themselves, you know, haters, truce breakers, you know. There's very few, you know, like we know that it's other people out there, but that's why the Most High has commissioned us to do this, to give the clarion call for the prophets and the seers to come out of wherever they are, because it's very crucial, because some people are held captive right now, and you're going to be that person who's going to set them free. Because
that
great and terrible day comes, because it's coming, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you what I know. I've seen it in dreams and visions. That great and terrible day is coming. And he wants to get everyone out before that's my personal belief right now. He wants to get every person out of where they are so they will not suffer the wrath with the wicked. Because why? Psalms 1 tells us why. It's because the righteous will not stand in the judgment of the unrighteous. We don't stand in the same judgment. The Creator is not going to destroy us with them. That's the first psalm, and it's a promise. I read that psalm all the time. So you need to start reading that psalm and know that you have, that is the benefit of a prophet. That is the benefit of a seer. That is the benefit of those who are held captive right now. Only we are the ones assigned to set them free. You know, even I remember in my life, I was blessing people. These people are millionaires today, rich. They never came back to bless me. They never came back. Mm-hmm. But they were supposed mm-hmm. to. But see, at the time, mm-hmm. like my sister said, I didn't know this gift I had. What I did know was I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm praying for these people, and they getting money and all this stuff, and I'm still poor. What's going on? Mm-hmm. But then I found out mm-hmm. People are supposed to bring things to us, just like in the olden days with our ancestors. They brought mm-hmm. the priest everything they needed, and the priest mm-hmm. was the go-between between the people of Yah. Let me tell you something. Prophets, they wasn't even you can go through the Old Testament. I guarantee you ain't gonna find nothing in there. But I guarantee you this: they was not looking for no pastors. They always was looking for the prophet. Even the prophet. Homeboy that praise came with God. Malachi, he said, "Do you have a what, sister? Prophet."
The prophet.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise
really
his
name. Yeah, that's right. I want to say this too, and the question was posed, and I'm sorry because I'm kind of back and forth with my words today, you guys. But it talked about the apostolic agent of revelation. And the thing is about that is that in the church, if that apostle is there, they're supposed to speak before the prophet. See, we have to really understand the headship of the church, okay? And so the next person who would be in position, like my sister said, would be the prophet, okay? The prophets are the ones that, like I said earlier, people come and have come many different places from many parts of the earth to hear what the prophet is saying, you know. And sometimes a leader will be given such a high title, to people will misinterpret really what his true position is, you know. And so, you know, modern day temples or churches, is all geared around the pastors and the teachers and the leaders and the apostles that they have, you know, chosen to be there. And I'm not saying that some of those apostles were not Christ appointed, but it appears that it's almost like, you know, if it's so easy to be a part of it, then it's something wrong, okay? Because one thing about Christ, I know for myself, it takes time for him to grow us up into things, because he knows most of the time we don't want to do it, you know. And so,
no, we don't.
Yeah, uh-uh. We don't want to do it. All of the prophets, you go to all of them. Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. You know, all of them kind of didn't want to do it. But at the end of the day, that when they did it, it became a fulfilling thing for not, like you said, only other people, but it began to show them their life, you know. And I've always said, you know, if you're kind of confused in your life, in the direction you're going, just ask the Most High to show you the story of your life, okay? Because what he'll do, he'll take you back and begin to fill in the areas that you may have forgotten about things that he showed you or that he wanted for you,
right.
You know? Mm. And that is very important. And I can say that has still helped me with that way of thinking up to this day, you know, really with my memory at times when I was being heavily attacked and, the enemy had agents of darkness coming against me, taking things from me, because, see, it's all based in your memory. You know, I too, like my sister we talked about, we believe that we've already had a relationship with Christ. But God has not given us the ability to remember it, because if we can remember our relationship with him and us being before the Father, I do believe that it would be a problem. You know what I'm saying? We would not want to be in this earthly realm, because where he's at, we know that there's no pain and suffering. There's no hatred and evil. You know, he's not even allowing that in the kingdom. And that's what I love about Christ, because he's so precious. You know, I have someone that wants to speak. I'm going to bring you on the air. I want ask you to make sure that you mute other devices so we can get you here on the air, okay? Praise God. You're on Saints Work. Who am I out here in the...
Hi, how are you? This is Brother Mike. I wanted to tell you that when you say prophet, and, you know, are you talking about like Nostradamus and many other seers, or are you talking about Jesus or Muhammad or Zoroastrians and et cetera?
Well, sir, if I can be clear with your question, you are wanting to know whom are we acknowledging as the seers that we're speaking about. And we are talking about the Most High, our true and living God, the prophetic, the God and holy saints of Christ that are appointed to be prophetic prophets, even before the foundations of this earth. As we spoke a little earlier, we don't always have a chance to see their existence play out in the church and in our communities because they've been silenced a lot, you know? And so what we're trying to move through this series on the prophets is we're trying to identify who how the prophet looks so that you can understand, like others, how a prophet, who we are talking about.
Okay, so which prophet are you talking about? The God, you said, or are you talking about Moses, Jesus, Buddha, etc., please?
Well, we believe we are adopted into the body of Christ, of Yeshua, our Lord, which is Jesus Christ, of course. And so we are talking as prophetic from the Bible, according to the word of God, and we are referencing under Jesus Christ, prophets.
Okay. Under Jesus Christ, the prophet, I have a question for you. When he came, he brought one religion, I believe. Then why up to today we have over 1,000 different division within the Christianity and also in Islam, same way. I don't say that it's only you guys. Islam is over 400 divisions, etc., and many other religions similar. But what happened? Can you explain for me, please, what happened when Jesus Christ came? He brought the new information, new laws, etc. I have no problem with it. But what happened that later on it becomes so many divisions within the division of the Christianity, like North Island, we saw Catholic, Protestant, they fight, almost 20 years. And up to today, they have the city in North Island. I mean, the Catholic side lives this one side, and Protestant in the other side, and they have a kind of borderline with each other. I mean, the door opens at 6 a.m. in the morning, and 6 p.m. it closes. So if a Catholic wants to go to, I mean, say a Protestant wants to go back to its own territory, and if they miss 1 second or even 1 minute, they stuck in the Catholic side. And where they can go sleep, where they can do, until next morning, So can you guide for me, please? What happened?
Well, I would say personally, this is that question has a lot of different answers that can be attached and associated. But, as we have seen it over the years, sir, the body of Christ is made of many members. And so a lot of people have, because of cultural backgrounds and where they live, they have chose to profess different gods under different religions, And the Bible says, according to what we know, is that we must seek and find the Christ, that we have. We have to put our efforts to seeking God. And if you're putting your effort in the right place, and you're speaking, God, with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, I just believe that God will lead you to the right God, which we believe is the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth, okay? And I would rather establish my belief system, and I'm just saying me, based on who created everything, you know, where it all started from. But there is other people, like my sister has said, and she can come in and speak. We know that a lot of people have been brought up in, under different religions, and they didn't even have a choice from day one. Did you want to say something, sis, on that?
Repeat your question, sorry.
No, I was talking to her. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I had muted the phone. Yeah, I just want to say how you doing today. But I also want to say, you know, back in Yeshua's time, there was a lot of paganism going on. Excuse me. This has been going on. And if you can go all the way back to the garden, okay, the witchcraft and the paganism, it goes back. Maybe 1,000 years after that, okay? And so even you have in the New Testament where Paul and I think Silas, they were going and preaching the good news, you know, to Ephesus and all those different places. But even Paul said, this place has many gods, you know.
Many gods.
And they even had one, huh?
Yeah, I said,
many gods. And they even had a altar erected the unknown God. So basically, you have people that has trickled down through the centuries. They have put in other words, their gods have always been here. This paganism, the sorcery, the witchcraft has already been here.
Mm-hmm.
But people have gotten into church, said they were children of the Creator. They said they loved him and stuff, but they were lying, okay? And so then that's what the Bible says. They brought in damnable heresies. They came in and said they loved God and all this stuff, but then they started creeping in unawares. People start creeping into the church and saying this and that and that and this, okay? And so, like, the Catholic Church, she's like the really the head of Catholicism, Christianity. All of these other churches is under her. Okay, and so that's why some people, that's why everything's divided, because you got people that said, you know, I'm just trying the best way to explain to you the best way I can, but that's been going on for centuries now. So now you got people who say it's coexist, you know, you got all these bumper stickers saying coexist with this person, that person, but none of these people have anything to do with God, with who they call God. His name is Yahweh. Okay, he has nothing to do with any of those people, and you got to have a relationship with him. Now, I can accept Yeshua, but the scripture said we got to know Creator for ourselves. Because there's many Jesuses. Even back in his time, there was a lot of people named Jesus. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go back into the history, sir. You have to go back and do your searching in history and time where the scribes wrote all that stuff down. And so because we don't study, see, God is going to hold us accountable because we're not studying his word. And we're just by what somebody saying in the pulpit. And that's what I was doing until I started studying and I started finding out that they were lying about certain things. They were not telling me the truth.
That's so true. Yeah.
Because
sir, did you
truth.
Have anything else you wanted to add real quickly?
You're
going to
have healing. You're
going to
have true healing through deliverance.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to criticize the Christianity at all, because if I want to, I have to criticize Islam first before any other religions, etc. But I'm not trying to criticize Christianity at all.
We're not taking that. You had a question, right?
Right. No, no.
We're not taking that way.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Sir.
You know, so Catholics are right. Protestants, right? I mean, we know some of the Christianity that they showed in the TVs, actually, that they play with a snake, a cobra snake, and when cobra bite them, they go and don't do any kind of medical treatment. Just they say until their own system overcome the bite of the cobra. I mean, what happened? I mean,
let me step in there for a second because I do want to. I do have a few other callers, but I just wanted to say this. You can feel free to email us a question or put it in the chat, okay? Because some of your questions, you know, are a little lengthy, but they are good questions. And so we're not trying to derail your question, but we don't want the show to run out. We're on a time level. So can you quickly just state the lesson so we can be clear and then we can move forward, sir?
I'm from a Muslim background. I can say the Islam religion is worst religion in the world. I mean, Christianity, we have no problem with it. It's a peaceful religion. Of course, there are some divisions, but it's in every religion right now. They have a lot of division with it. But Muhammad married with Aisha, 6 years old girl. I mean, which religion which we have not seen in the past, you know, that somebody says that he's the prophet of Muhammad, and then he married a 6 years old Aisha. Aisha was the youngest wife of Muhammad, and Muhammad had 40 wives. I mean, how is that possible that somebody who says, I'm a holy man, and, you know, to come and have from 6 years old and above and, you know, 40 wives? How can you, I mean, and then he always was a liar, because in Quraysh, when the Jewish people, if he came, he says, no problem. We are going to be friends with each other. We are not going to do anything to you, to your tribes, Quraysh, Jewish at that time. So Jewish people said, okay, Muhammad, no problem. We are going to eat together and in peace and love. And then suddenly, one day he came, he beheaded all the Jewish people, you know? Mm-hmm. So we can see the most worst religion in the world is Islam, and, today we see our universities is under control of the PLO. I mean, this is the most nasty thing we ever see in the United States, that our university colleges is basically you cannot go to study based on your religion, whether you're Jewish or Christian or any other Buddhist, etc. And only you have to be Muslim in order to be able to go to your classes. What the hell is happening? You see what I'm saying? But I do not want
to. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's a part of you
want
to hear. Yeah. But one thing I do want to touch on before we take you off the air, because we have to move forward a little bit because we're moving fast with time, is that I just want to share this with you. You know, we reference the God of the Bible, the Creator, Yahweh, Adonai, okay? And we look at him as our first and last. He is our final. His word is our authority, our final authority. When you have a relationship with Christ, you don't really keep seeking other pagans or other gods, because God does allow his Holy Spirit to confirm who he is in the life of a believer. Sis, do you want to add on to that before I can move on? And I want to thank you also, listener, for coming up with your question, okay? I'm going to take you off the air, the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
God bless you, sir.
You're welcome.
Being such a great soul.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, I just basically want to say he needs to, we need to talk to him more in depth privately.
Yeah, that's what I felt too.
Yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about, but yeah. Some of the things that I would need to say on the air, it's
can't
not going to work.
Here
it has to be a private.
Yeah, I understand. You, sir, yeah. If you can, I'm going to give you at the end of the show, if you stay around, I'll give you our email address. And I also put it in the chat room because you sound like you're someone that might need some spiritual coaching. And we do have that available for those who need that, you know. But as we move forward into the show, and we are running with time, so I apologize. I would like to have had more. But we're just basically trying to give the background on the benefits of the prophet. And so one of the things that the Most High did put in my spirit to remind people that the prophet in this day and time, a prophet is a spokesperson for God. The prophet acknowledges, warns, and directs, encourages, intercedes, teaches, and counsels. Okay? So there are many prophets, like you said, around the world, which they have through their own genealogy and their own religious background, they are considered prophets. But we believe in the one and true living prophet, the one that risen from the dead. Okay? And, you know, over the years we've heard, you know, Muhammad hasn't risen, you know, Buddha hasn't risen. But, you know, Christ is in our heart. I believe that's where the center of where God lives in a believer. Do you have something you want to add to that, sis?
Just basically, like I say, these people are false prophets. You know,
yeah.
And that's what we have to start in the end time. This is very crucial, is that we're going to have to start finding out who we're listening to, who we are giving our time to, who we are associating with, because the scriptures clearly tell us that the Most High is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. We know, of those of us who know about the wheats and the tares, you would have to go into Matthew to find that story if you would like to read more depth on it. But there's a lot of people running around here saying that they're Yah's people, and they're not. We don't know because we haven't been taught, but we're finding out now. Me and my sister found out through people. We've helped these people, giving them all kinds of things. And when we were down and out, they're nowhere to be found. So you gotta start. Okay, if the shoe don't fit, you know, they ain't
don't
real.
Don't force it. And you know, too, and I ask
that. Don't force it.
Yeah,
that's the word.
But he probably is. It's a cultural thing too. You know, where your space.
Yeah, and I can understand what he's saying. I do.
Yeah, and you know, it's not so much that these people, he's admitting that they don't sound like they're the true prophet. They've done a lot of crazy things, and they're supposed to be holy, right? And so I wouldn't say, sir, if you're still hanging in there listening, is that they would be considered a chosen, a prophetic prophet, okay? Because the life of a prophet is very, 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 very consecrated, okay?
And the Most High does not
tolerate any type of things. Like, he really deals with them, okay? Like, we don't get a chance to just speak whatever we think or live any kind of way. He's correcting his people on a day-to-day basis. And that's where we're at in this end time, is that a person who is going to be a follower of Christ, they're going to have to really be in a relationship with him. He's going to be cleaning up and exposing things of your past. He's going to be exposing others and people. And what you can do from wherever you're at, you can pray and ask the Most High to reveal himself to you, okay, who he is. I've heard many people in other states and countries and in severe times, you know, cry out to the Lord, you know, I'm telling you this because even we, as in the Christianity background, which I do want to say we're believers per se, but the thing is we've had to cry out to the Most High. This thing didn't come easy. It's taking time for him to reveal to us who we are in the body of Christ, okay, and in his kingdom. And so in Jeremiah 22 says, this particular scripture, and this is me saying that, proves that in the church are full of enemies and false prophets. And he says, which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear the word? If they had stood in his counsel, they would have proclaimed his words to his people, and they would have turned from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Sir, this is very accurate here. You know, if a person is in a church or in a community or whatever, and they are not living up to what we know as humans that is the most good and perfect, would be the perfect will of God or mankind, if you don't know the word, then that is a very big sign that that probably is a false prophet, you know? And that's what we're talking about today, trying to understand, the prophets. And I believe next week's series, we'll probably talk more about false prophets for people who need this, you know? So when a prophet, the heart and mind of the Lord, he speaks the word of the Lord to his people. He stands before the people as on has stood before God. Because his words come from the heart of God, they are powerful and effective. And so that also does identify when God speaks in people's lives, you know, things, changes, miracles, signs, wonders, they're going to appear. You know, if it's God in his entirety, because sometimes people get it wrong and they make, you know, miss the mark. But God usually, like my sister said earlier, whatever he speaks through the prophets, it shall come to pass. You know, a prophet can undertake a huge variety of roles. This is an expression of the creativity of God, seers, and are God's prophets. And prophets may be a prophet who do not hold the position as a seer as well. So that was something we addressed in our earlier episode. We have recognized in teaching the leadership and ranking of a prophet in the absence of the prophets in this day and time, which we also talked about today, is how many of prophets are being silenced. Are they no longer in the church because they've been ran out of church, according to the scriptures, in our everyday appearance? We can see it all over the world, right? So now we're going to just try to take the last bit of the time. Let's dive into the scriptures and see how it relates to the movement of the church and where God is using the prophets in this day and time. See, we got to pay attention to where is God really moving with the prophets in this day and time. You know? And Ephesians 4 and 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Christ is the head, my friends. We already can see that many believers are in this modern day church or temples are still trying to protect their leaders and prophets so they can continue their work. Regardless of the false narratives, we see it all the time. There are so many people are still trying to hold up those prophets. And so as we move forward, we just want to talk a little bit about what is the movement right now? And I'm going to let my sister come in if she has something she can say. Is how God is using his end-time prophets, because I think this is where we're at. We're more in that end-time prophecy, and God has been talking about it throughout the scriptures, through Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, and he's also been telling us what to look for in these end times, because we're not always going to see it is clear, if we are not walking clearly with the Lord and we don't have that spirit of discernment to help us identify that which is good and that which is evil, you know. And sometimes, like the caller said, you know, it can be very confusing, you know. You have all these gods, all these prophets, and so which one is the right one, you know. But that person or any person who has that question, they have to start from the beginning. That's why Genesis is created, because it tells you what started all of this, okay? Who was in charge of all of this, and how he has chosen his people against the people that are existing in the world other than his people. Go ahead, sis. Can you tell us, give us a little bit based on where do you see the movement of the prophets in this end time?
Well, me as a prophet, you know, as a prophet, you have many different titles. You know, your head title, of course, is a prophet, but your assignment can be different, you know.
That's right.
And my assignment is, one of my assignments has always been, I'm called a warning prophet. I've been brought in many people's lives to warn them. And so I right now am in the time where I have been warning people. Just quickly, I'm just going to tell you recently where I'm living at, I had said that I had prophesied this basically. I said, you know, the Most High told me, he told me this. He said, you know, it's going to get so bad, the crime and everything's going to get bad, and we know it's getting bad in everywhere in the world. In fact, it was already prophesied to us in Bereshit, which is that Bereshit or is that Exodus? I forgot, but it's Noah when he was, you know, doing the thing with the ark. You know, it said in one day it was going to be just like it was in the days of Noah, but it was going to be worse than it was. And so the reason why it's worse, because people didn't have all these weapons. Like, they got guns, machetes, knives. They got poison. Mm-hmm. People are poisoning people. You know, they got devices, laser devices. People are using witchcraft on us. So it's everything. It's a whole lot of stuff more that wasn't invented back then that it is now. And mm-hmm. so now, you know, I had prophesied, you know, the Most High told me to prophesy this. Now, one thing, too, I also want to tell you as a prophet. Like, when the Most High tell you to prophesy something, you don't have to go and stand on the street corner. You could if he tells you to, you know. But you just mm-hmm. can stand in your room and prophesy it. And what he told mm-hmm. me was basically that the crime was going to increase so much that the police departments in all different parts of the world, they were going to go from one crime scene to another, to another, to another. I mean, it was just going to be happening just like that. And I kid you not, I was listening to the news yesterday morning, and the lady, she said exactly what I prophesied. Now, this happened, I prophesied this maybe 2 months ago, three months ago. And actually, someone actually hit me with a weapon, one of these wicked devices in my hip. You know, they got mad and they hit me. But anyways, she said exactly what the Most High told me, that the police department in this one particular city, this state, they had went from one crime scene to another, day. It was nonstop. And so what mm-hmm. he's trying to do is he's trying to warn us. And so mm-hmm. that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, what I said was, I said, okay, well, you know what? I was trying to warn you, but guess what? I'm not gonna waste my time with you again. I was trying to help them, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to let them do that to me again. And not only that, I've also come to the conclusion that, you know, I don't know how this is all going to end up when we're going to be on the run, who we're going to be with or whatever. But one thing I do know, people that are going to try to be controlling narrative, they're not a prophet, they haven't suffered through nothing, and they're going to try to lead. And I'm going to tell whoever I'm with, I'm saying, well, look, you can either choose to go their way or you can choose to go the way of Yah. And I'm not begging nobody mm-hmm. or anything. I'm going the mm-hmm. way he's telling me to go, okay? And if anybody don't like it, they can go whichever way they think they need to go. You see what I'm saying? It's that serious. You need to know who you're listening to. And so that's my call right now, is the end time warning prophet. I've warned people before mm-hmm. this last one thing. This guy, he had a problem with me. I used to go get my hair done. And so one day, you know, I didn't like him because, you know, he was always talking about the Creator. And so one day, Creator, I left. I got my hair done, and I left. And so he was coming up the street. And he said, "I want you to witness to him." And I was like, "No, I don't think so." And he was like, "No, I want you to witness to him." And I was like, "No, because he's always talking about you." And he said, "If you don't witness to him, his blood is going to be on your hands." Now, I know that scripture very well. It's a real scripture, okay? And so when he came to me, I went up to him, and I told him. And let me tell you, I was waiting for the bus, brothers and sisters. The bus did not come. The bus stop was full of people. I mean, it was almost 50 people at the bus stop. So when he came across, I witnessed to him. And I gave him a pamphlet, told him what the Most High told me to tell him. And guess what? After I did it, the bus came. It was coming. So at that time, I didn't know this guy was going to be my husband. He was a bus driver, MTA bus driver. So one day he asked me to ride with him to the beach. And so I said, okay. And I rode with him to the beach. And he said, "You know that guy you witnessed to?" I said, "Yeah, what about him?" And he was like, "He got shot and killed." And I was like, "No." He was like, "Yes, he's dead. His brother got shot too, but he got paralyzed." So that's one thing about when you're a prophet, you have to tell people what he's telling you to tell them. Because if you don't tell them, they could die and go to hell, but then you could be responsible for that. So you don't want to be responsible. No matter what anybody talks about you, makes fun of you, laughs at you, just do it. Just do it.
I totally agree with that, because the Most High has planted us in different places in our lives for reasons, as we spoke earlier. You know, when I spoke about my environment and how he moved me from one place to another, and I can say honestly, everything that he was doing then, it was going to affect what's going on now in this world. I mean, he brought me out of a city that has a lot of issues, you know, and with a prophet, you know, like I said, you know, depending on what God is using, what type of prophet and how he's using the gift, you know, prophets need to be in places where they can have, you know, some tranquility time, some peace, you know, they have to be away from that city kind of movement all the time, the noise, that. Because it does play a part in the other area is when you're being attacked a lot, because that's the part that people don't talk about with the prophets. They always try to make it seem like prophets are, you know, they're mouthpieces, they're spokesmen of God, but prophets tend to go through quite a bit of trouble, you know, and they can go through trouble in ways where they have not even brought it upon themselves. People can sometimes spot them. The demonic spirits are always trying to harass them. I mean, we've seen the real heavy movement of, you know, spiritual attack on us as God start releasing more of information to us of who we really are in the realm of the spirit to him, you know, and how he gifted us to be, and he's appointed us, very important people, he's appointing his prophets to be in the realm of the spirit. The false prophets have not been appointed. And earlier I spoke of, you know, Jeremiah, when I was saying the part about how Jeremiah even said, you know, which of them has stood in the council of the Lord and seen and heard his words. A lot of these people in the church and in pagans following all these pagan gods and, you know, doing all these rituals, they don't realize that they're going to have to be accountable for that, because not only they were doing it, but they had exposed that ignorance to their own children, okay? And God created mankind, but you as a parent or a person, you're going to be responsible for the things you did do and the things you didn't do, you know? And so that's why it's so important as a prophet or seer or however God is using you, is that you understand, you know, where is God trying to use you on the earth now, you know? God, you know, is doing, you know, what is he doing in the earth? First of all, you want to know what he's doing, so pray. And if you are praying, God will give you answers. I'm sometimes praying about certain things, and I will just turn on something or YouTube or somewhere, and then he has sparked that thought in my head and start ministering to me, you know, because it's all based on the spirit, okay? Because if you're looking always for people to be the answer, you're going to miss God, okay? It's a spiritual journey, okay? And so with the Most High was showing me another way that he's using his prophets in the earth to be a voice for him. He's using them on a lot of different kind of social media places, some disease, you know. I'm not going to say, you know, that all of them, because I don't want to confuse anyone, all of them are prophetic under the anointing of Christ, okay? But there is some that God has spoke to me and gave me light, and I literally was able to use that. So we, again, have to pay attention to that discerning of the spirit, you know, being able to discern what is good and what is evil. And then also, too, we have to be reminded, sis, that not everybody has a childhood like ours, you know. Some people live in rural states and countries, and they, all they know and seen is poverty a lot, you know. And then they have had some times where they've seen authority figures try to reign over their ability to control them, you know, for them to do things. But God can use anyone if he chooses to, you know. But what he's doing is he's speaking to his, through his people, his servants, the prophets, in this day and time. And that's why we've been urging you guys is to come out from those hidden places and begin to let God use you to speak. Because you, too, my friend, are going to have to give account if you don't, you know. And there are sometimes, you know, we have experienced it ourselves, you know. We had to go in hiding, and this was for real. This is serious because, you know, the enemy seeing that we were getting closer and closer to understanding what God was going to use us for, and he began to attack us. And that's why we were called back, because in that time of hiding, God was still pouring. He was still pouring into us, okay? And so there's so many things that he shares with us that he is going to, at his own appointed time, he will tell us now is the time to speak on this, okay? So how are you going to speak without an audience? You have to be placed somewhere where someone can see you or hear from you. And you might not be popular. The prophets, as we spoke earlier, are not very popular to see them, and it's very rare to see them in the church. So God can use the social media venues and sites, and even he can use personal conventional places. You will run into people, like my sister said, you know. You can be wherever. You can be in a shopping center, a grocery store, you know. You can be in a church, or you can be at work. There are so many times when God will use us throughout the earth. We're not limited just because we're not in a church, you know. And so another thing God wanted me to point out before we go is that prophets are just, we're regular, not really regular, it's peculiar for sure. But prophets are people too, you know. We go through a lot of things, and prophets were supposed to be welcomed, like my sister said earlier, and they were supposed to be blessed. People were supposed to give to them, just like that prophet that came to the woman's house, and I'm not going to go so deep in, and she didn't have any more food, and she was at her last bit, and she said, no, you know, I got it, man, this food is for me and my son, and once we eat it, we're going to go on and die, you know, but the prophet came, he rescued. God seen that lady, her last option, and he sent that prophet. He could have sent that prophet to anywhere else, right, but he sent it to her house. You know, and she was honest in the front, and the prophet told her that, you know, look, he needed something to eat too, so let me cut this off. You know, we can make this work in so many words, you know. And because he had the anointing of God, God honored him, and so he was able to bless the situation. So another thing, prophets, you benefit from being around a God-fearing prophet is because that person, they can really bless your life, you know, praise God. And so this week I had a little testimony I want to share because I don't want it to get too far ahead. We're almost about to end. I had a person on Facebook reach out to me, and they asked me for prayer. And they had took the COVID shot, okay? And they had fell very, very ill. And they were very concerned. For them to reach out to us, to send forth your word, you know, it doesn't amaze me, but what it did was it showed me the power of a prophet. A prophet don't have to be right there in your face, right? And so I listened to his request, and he said, you know, not only was I sick, but he was saying that his wife had took me off right away, and they had just had like a wonderful, because they're ministers, okay, in their country. And they said they had just had a phenomenal service, and boom, they all felt ill. The wife, her insulin levels were very high, and that she was very weak, and she couldn't move around, you know, and she was just laying on the couch. He was just pointing out the scenario. And so then he was saying how he was so ill that his heart was having troubles and he was not feeling very good. He was really ill, and that the medication that they given to him, he was not responding to it well. And so for some reason I was in line, and the Lord had led him to us, and I had seen his prayer, and I had talked to him a few times prior, and he had showed me pictures of the ministry and all that, so I was able to witness more. But at the end of the day, the Lord stopped me instead of just saying, you know, okay, brother, we'll pray for you. And I just seen my hands start typing, and I start praying while I was typing. And then at the end of it, the Most High said and told me to quit and let me know how fast you get healed, you know, how fast the healing power comes over you. So he said, thank you, and then we kind of departed. I would say maybe if not 15 to 20 minutes, this man sent me another email. He said, I don't know what happened, but the Most High used you to bring healing to our place. He said, not only am I feeling a lot better than what I was before you typed at that prayer, but my wife, who was weak and was laid on the bed, I mean on the couch, and she wasn't able to really move, I looked up and she was getting up and she went to the kitchen to make and prepare us a meal. See, I shared that with you because I want you to see that God can use the prophet, the servant, whoever God has called you to be, the pastor, the teacher. It's not always set that you're going to be in front of a stage or, you know, on an altar or wherever. Sometimes God will use you in the places you least expect. I wasn't expecting for the power of God to work that quickly, but one thing I did know when he told me to tell them to let me know how fast he heals them, literally I knew God was going to heal them when he said that, because I've seen that that gift is a part of the prophet. Prophets are able, again, they are able to speak and pray over people's lives so they can be healed. Prophets are not just limited to just basically giving you a word of knowledge, but they are prophets where they can really have a healing power that is connected to them. And that's not my only testimony, because I've seen it happen in the life many times before. But we have said one thing about prophets: we need other prophets like us to pray for us, okay? Because it's so far in between that we meet one that is really a prophetic prophet that is really staying focused and walking upright with us. I'm not going to say they're not, but you really have to be all the way rooted into that, so that you can really perfect the gift that God has in you. And so it was just such a blessing to see how God was able to use that situation just before we had this series on the benefits of being a prophet. You know, the benefits of being a prophet are to having a prophet is that prophet. They're prophetic and they're right before God, and they're not trying to use the gift for other means. Is someone that you should really welcome and praise. Not so much that you're praising them over the Creator, but you're blessing, being a blessing to them, like my sister said, that you're taking it knowledge that when they talk to you and they're having a hard time, you're not using it against them. See, a lot of times people, that's what they do. When you say you're a title, remember we talked about that. I used to say, oh, I didn't like titles. Because to me, as soon as you put a title in something, people always try to make it seem like you're at a higher level, so you shouldn't get sick, or you shouldn't have problems, you shouldn't be in trouble, this shouldn't happen. Things are going to happen when we're ordinary people at the end of the day. It's whoever the spirit of Yah wants to use to perfect his miracles and blessings in our lives. So we really, you know, have to pay attention that we're not here to try to attack prophets in itself, but we recognize in the world as the way things stated in today, you don't need us to tell you that there's something missing, okay? you can see that for yourself. And so what God is doing, he is trying to help us get to a place where we can come together. We are trying to build a community of seers and prophets as much as God will allow. We're not asking for hundreds and thousands unless that's God's will. But what we're doing is we're trying to help and build a community where we can help each other, because so many prophetic seers and prophets have been silenced. They have been put away, just like the prophet Micaiah. He was a great prophet, and he literally had a very clear, direct relationship with God. He could see in the rim of his spirit. He was able to see how Ahab was going to be destroyed through a false prophet, you know, and he even was able to tell Ahab what God had showed him, and Ahab still chose wrong. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes prophets are just like my sister said. They come to warn you too. And when they're coming to warn you, that is very serious, my friend, because if there's a warning, the Bible says it's always warning always comes before the fall, you know? So we have to pay attention to what God is really saying to us as individuals, not so much putting all the burden on the prophets and the teachers and the preachers, but also to being held accountable for our own stuff that we're doing. You know, we don't always need God to, you know, tap us on the shoulder to show us, hey, we're doing something wrong. If we know that it's not morally right and it does not fit the conduct of Christ, we are pretty much guilty. And if it's a sin, it's a sin. Call it out for what it is. Stop hiding behind your sin. That's what I would say to people using. A lot of people try to get online and say, well, you know, this religion and that religion. Okay, we are individuals, okay? God is not calling. When you go to judgment, your day of judgment, all those other religions are not going to be able to answer to your judgment call. You are going to have to answer to your own. And so we need to be fully aware, and if it takes that, we're going to have to study a little bit more, and we're going to have to pull from here and there. Do whatever it takes so you can gain your own better understanding in the things of God, because it is very important that you get it right for yourself, you know. We can always say, you know, this person hurt me, that person. The Bible already tells us so many times, you have to forgive, you have to do this, you have to do that, because he's trying to clear up all that stuff that we don't need so we can have a clear access and direction of path to him, you know. And so with that being said, I'm just so grateful that we were able to have this time to speak with you, our friends and listeners, again here on Send Forth Your Word. One last thing that God wanted me to address, and he said, I want you to write this down. He says, God is dealing with this issue now, my friends, by exposing the heresies and that has been governing by the movement of the church, you know. God wants us to pay attention to the church, but we just have to be aware, too. If we're in the church, we, like my sister said, we need to learn how to discern and be able to hear which voice we're hearing from. You know, is this of God or is this of man, you know, because, or is this of the enemy? And sometimes it's of self, too. And sometimes self tends to say, speak towards self, you know. But lastly, God has said to tell my people, all the prophets carry prophetic burden barriers, which they are called to pray. They are known as prophetic intercessors. They can feel the grief of the Lord over the things that are not right. These prophets seem to live in the dormitory much of the time, but they are called there to pray what's right against those things that are wrong. So that is really what God has used a lot of his prophets, like my sister said, is to really call out what's wrong, warn people, to share things and pray with one another so that we can get ourselves back in order in the line with God. It would be a very terrible day for a person who continues to escape or ignore the warnings of God. And so that's what prophets are here, and they are put in the communities at times at large. They're put in government authority positions, put in the church. They're not limited just to the church, okay? Even though they may have, you know, an earthly or what people would say a worldly position, But there's a lot of believers that have been placed in high places, you know, and God has used them tremendously. So what I would like to say is thank you for coming back to send forth your word. We will be back with our next episode. And we were grateful that you shared with us today. We were able to hear from one of our listeners. We are short with time, so we thank you for coming here to send forth this. Do you want to pray us out before we leave today? Are you there, sis? Do you want to pray before we go?
Yeah. Precious
okay,
Yah, we thank you once again for all. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Oh, okay. Precious Father, we thank you once again for this time you have carved out for us and our listeners. We thank you for all of your precious people, Father, that made the time to come and hear your word.
Yes.
That you are preparing us. My sister spoke it out some time ago, that you told her to prepare. So, Father, as we try our best to help your people prepare for what is about to come upon the earth realm, Father, we ask you to forgive us in advance for our sins,
yes,
transgressions, and iniquities, not because we're asking to keep sinning, but we're asking, Father, because we just need mercy and grace to make it through the rest of this week, through each day and every moment of the day. Because the enemy is walking around, he's driving around, he's flying around, seeking whom he may devour, Father. So we ask you, please protect us and protect those who have come to the show, Father, because we know the enemy. We know him. He'll get angry about that and be attacking these poor people. So we ask you once again, Father, to place a moratorium around us, a shield, Father, to protect us from all the sorcery and witchcraft that is heightening up every single day that we live. And we thank you, Father, that you are bringing the end of this age to an end, because it's
time
for the righteous to take back the earth realm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name.
Praise
your loving Lord's rest.
And I want to thank you, Father, for just the ability to be able to be here. And people don't know that we have struggles sometimes. We're not perfect. But we thank you because we love you and we know that you called us to do a great work and we've shown up to do that work on your behalf. So we want to thank you, our listeners and friends. We pray that the Most High will continue to bless your lives over the week. And we ask that if you decide you want to come back, show up, we will be back here soon here on Send Forth Your Word. If you would like to send us a message or you like the show, please make sure that you leave us a comment in the comment section or send us an email at sendforyourword@gmail.com. Until next time, may God's blessings be richly with you and yours. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen.
Hallelujah.